Right now, though, it's gadget time. I'm going to settle down now for a chat with the gadget detective, Fevzi Turkalp. You can always catch up with him on his Twitter handle, at Gadget Detective. Always a pleasure to talk to Fevzi. Have you had a good week, Fevzi?
Yes, very good, thank you. I've been a busy boy doing lots and lots of radio. That OnlyFans news story that broke a couple of days ago about changes to their policies has kept me busy. But
I'd never heard of that until this story broke, and nor was I aware of some of the salacious content that was on there.
Well, I mean, that's obviously because you're pure of heart and spirit. But
that's very true.
Yeah, it's good. For those that don't know, OnlyFans is a website for what's euphemistically called content creators, the majority of whom seem to be providing pornographic and sexual services. And the story briefly was that a BBC investigation turned out that there was a lot of illegal material and illegal activity going there. So it wasn't just porn that is... It can be, of course, legal, but things that went far beyond that. And then OnlyFans announced that they were going, in quotes, legit and banning explicit conduct or materials containing explicit conduct from their website. And one wonders how they're going to make money, because, I mean, they're sort of like $2.5 billion, turnover company. Mm. And one wonders how they're going to make the money. But their worry was that they can't get inward investment, and the banks that do the payment transactions were not too happy about how the money was being made. So they're trying to clean up their act, but the problem for them is that the majority of their money came from services that had some sort of sexual element to them.
Yeah, they're cleaning up their act, but the people who are using it don't want the act cleaned up. It's a difficult one.
That's right, isn't it, because they've built their business on it, and now they see it as a kick in the teeth. And actually, it was, for some of these people, it was a safer way of working than some of the more conventional ways. But the problem was that some of the people on there seemed to be underage, and there were concerns about, sexual trafficking and so forth. So, they really do have to get their moderating act together if they can survive as a business, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, on probably a more serious note, let's turn for your tech story of the week away from that one to what's happening in Afghanistan and the fact that the Taliban might actually be about to get access to very incriminating data. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. So the reason I picked this story, other than the fact it's important in the context of Afghanistan, is also because as we roll out these technologies in our own country and in the West, things like fingerprint recognition, facial recognition as you're walking down the street, other retina scans, all these sorts of things. And some people say, we're worried about this. And other people say, if you've done nothing wrong, you've got nothing to fear. But my answer to that has always been, imagine if that technology was in the hands of Hitler. If we get a government in this country or any other country that is extreme and racist and wants to blame a particular religious or ethnic group, then they suddenly have all this data, which has never been true before. So in the context of Afghanistan, what's happened is that it turns out that US troops in Afghanistan were trying to scan up to 80% of the population, 25 million population. I don't think they got to the 80%, but they got a good chunk of the population. And when I say scan, I mean that they had these devices called HIDE devices, handheld integrity identity detection equipment, which are these handheld devices that would do a retina scan of the eyes, fingerprints, and take a photo. And one of the main reasons they were using that was as they were working with Afghan contractors, builders, anyone that they were working with, interpreters, they felt the need to be able to identify them and make sure that the person that they thought they were dealing with was that person. Maybe they thought all Afghanis looked the same to them, I don't know. But the problem now is that there are reports of the Taliban having got hold of some of these HIDE devices, and it's believed that they either have or will soon have access to at least some of the biometric data that the American military and the former Afghan government collected. And there are now reports that they're going from house to house with these HIDE devices, scanning people, looking for collaborators, that's to say people who worked with Western forces. And that, it's the height of, I actually think it was the height of, but it's just a disgrace that they would pull out and leave machines and data accessible in this way, because this will now cost lives. And going forward, any time that we decide to have a sort of a military involvement in any other country, what do you think are the chances of people wanting to work with the Western forces again when their track record is this? I mean, it's a disgrace. But think about what we're doing here. We're setting up, you know, facial recognition systems so that when you walk down the street, you can be recognized, you can be tracked across public transport systems. They've got automatic number plate recognition systems, so when you drive down the road, there is virtually no public space where you can't be identified and tracked by legal means. Now, at the moment, that might just be a sort of vague concern in the back of our minds, but think again, if we ever got a government that was not a democratic government or didn't want to treat everybody equally, what could they do with that technology? And I think those are the things that we have to have in mind when we create these sorts of biometric scanning systems. It's really quite a danger for all of us, and a salutary tale of what's happening in Afghanistan. Shades of that could happen in other countries. And don't forget, you know, Germany was a democracy. Hitler was elected before he dismantled the democratic system in Germany. It was a modern democracy. And we should not think that things like this cannot happen again in our place. We've seen democracies being weakened already around the world. And, you know, some of those could tumble.
Mm. Sobering. Well, we'll keep an eye on that story and whether the Taliban do get access to all that data. And we're chatting at the moment with the gadget detective, Fervsy Tokup. And we were talking about technology and how it could fall into the wrong hands in Afghanistan. But we're moving now to different technology now, your gadget of the week. What have you got for us?
Right. So the gadget of the week this week is from a company called Targus. That's T-A-R-G-U-S. Targus are best known for making quite advanced and wide range of accessories for different types of computer devices. And this one is a dock. It's called the Dock 221, D-O-C-K 221. And it solves a particular problem because computers are changing. Modern computers, when we go to upgrade or buy a new computer, we find that the number of connectors on them would have dropped dramatically. In the past, and even in the quite recent past, when you bought a desktop computer or even a laptop, it would have a whole range of different connectors on it, something for wired internet, a number of USB ports, various ways of connecting to external monitors, card slots to take the little memory cards that go into your camera, that sort of device. Now, that was great. I mean, it was a mess because you had all these cables coming out of your laptop, and every time you took your laptop away and brought it back, you'd have to plug in, you know, a power connection as well. You'd have to plug in anything up to six cables into it, like a rat's nest. But now they don't have that. They tend to have just a few ports. Excuse me, I beg your pardon. And these few ports tend to be very fast and very versatile, but can usually only do one thing at a time unless you have a dock. So this device, the Dock 221 from Targus, is that. It connects via a single cable to, let's say, a laptop computer. So if you have a laptop with a Thunderbolt 3 connector, which is the fastest type of connector that's sort of available on machines at the moment, just to give you idea of how fast, 40 gigabits per second, that's to say 4 billion bits of information, zeros and ones, go along that single cable every second, which is huge. And then you see, with that amount of data, because everything is digital, your displays are digital and all your external drives are digital and your Ethernet connection is digital, that can then be shared across all these different things if you have a box that does it. So the dock is a box that you plug just a single cable into a Thunderbolt 3 computer, and then it's a box with all those connectors on it. So first of all, it's got three ports that can be used for video output. So you can run two monitors at a time using it, and that can either be two 4K monitors. Now, by 4K, what do I mean? You've heard of HD, full high definition. Mm-hmm. That's 1080p, that's 1080 lines. 4K is four of those on one screen. Imagine four times as many dots forming that. So you can either run 4K monitors, two of them, in what's called high dynamic range, which again is another trick that you can get. So if you look at things on a high quality screen, you see that the blacks are truly black and the whites are truly white, and the number of shades of dark to light are more. So you can either run two 4K HDR high dynamic range monitors, or you can, and this is, you know, quite unusual, one 8K monitor. So just as a 4K was four times as much as full HD, this is, you can run an 8K monitor. So in the future, if you ever buy an 8K monitor, this will support it. In addition to that, you've got the memory card slot, the SD card slot, which is a fast type. You've got six standard USB connectors, this USB-A, so you can connect, you know, mice and keyboards and external drives and anything else you want. You've got an Ethernet port if you need a wired connection to the internet, if Wi-Fi is not. So if you're doing things like streaming and mission critical things, you don't really want to rely on Wi-Fi, you want a wired connection. Mm-hmm. It's got a socket on the front for a headset, so you've got your microphone and speaker from a headset, just plug in using a normal single socket. So it does all of these things, and the joy of it, oh, and it delivers power to the laptop, so that data connection will also charge the laptop. So you've got all those things plugged into the box that remains on your desk. Mm. You then bring along your Thunderbolt 3 laptop and you just connect one wire to the dock, and it's powered, it's keeping the laptop charged, and all these different connectors are working at high speed. And then when you need to go away, all you do is unplug that one wire from the laptop and go, and everything remains connected up. You don't have to plug and unplug half a dozen things every time you arrive, sure, at or leave, yeah, your desk. So pretty special. Not
pretty
cheap.
Expensive? Right, yeah,
not cheap. So price is, list price is 330. I had a quick look online today. The best price I found was £280. Ooh,
still
including,
expensive.
Yeah, but do you know, it solves a problem, because otherwise your laptop really doesn't do what you want it to do, because it's not just the inconvenience of plugging and unplugging. If you don't have those ports, how are you going to do it? It's all very well that, you know, Apple and the like making these really svelte, thin, ultralight laptops, and even their desktops are on, you know, don't have the number of ports on them they used to. But how are you going to connect all your stuff? Are you going to have to buy all new stuff that uses new connectors, or are you going to get a dock like this that's going to mean you can still use all your existing, you know, keyboards and mice and external drives and Ethernet and all of those things? Yeah, so it solves a very specific problem, and £280 in the scheme of things, I know, is not cheap, but actually it is good value for what it provides. And for that reason, I've given it 4 stars out of 5.
Okay. And that's from Targus, you said?
Targus, yeah. Targus. I think the website is uk.targus.com.
Brilliant. All right. And you can find Fevzi on gadgetdetective.com.